What is true greatness? It's a good question, isn't it? I'm a big entertainment guy. I'll be the first one to admit that. And sometimes when I watch a LeBron James do amazing things, I saw him play the Nuggets here about a week ago, and he single-handedly won the game against the Nuggets. I say, man, that is, you say it, true greatness. Peyton Manning, one of the finest quarterbacks of all time, if not the finest quarterback of all time, although we have to say Tom Brady is right up there too. I mean, when I watch those guys compete, especially my favorite player, Peyton Manning, I mean, he would finish a game and he would do what he did, and he was so accurate with his passes, and I would say to my son, that is true greatness. Carrie Underwood, have you ever heard her sing Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art? Oh my goodness. If you've not heard her sing How Great Thou Art, Google it today. Put it on YouTube. You will be stunned and amazed. You'll be crying. Tears will be running down your cheeks. And you'll say, my goodness, that is an amazing singer. That is true greatness. The same thing could be said about Celine Dion, the way she can sing. Hugh Jackman, who is a great, great actor. We look at people like that and we say, that is true greatness. But is it really? According to the scriptures, according to what Jesus tells us. Sometimes we look at a man who climbs a corporate ladder and has all kinds of subservience under him and is doing quite well economically, and we say that is true greatness. We sometimes look at someone who really likes to call the shots and has a lot of authority and dictates to people what to do and how to do it. I remember one of our vicars who told me, I love telling people what to do. And do you know what? That's what he's doing now. He's telling people what to do. And sometimes we look at those corporate climbers in America today and we say, that is true greatness. But is it really? Maybe hitting a little bit closer to home, we look at a faithful husband, a loving father, a doting wife, a serving mother, obedient children. And we look at folks like that and we say, isn't that what true greatness is all about? And I will say that's closer for sure. I remember my dad, and I emulated my dad. He was such a wonderful man, dynamic personality, magnetic personality. People were attracted to him. Tremendous leader, wonderful speaker, tremendous pastor. And I grew up thinking, I want to be like him. But this is the way he kind of did things in our household. He had the attitude, I bring home the bacon, and my wife does everything else. And I mean everything. And so I was brought up in a home where my dad would say, honey, get me my slippers, get me something to drink. Would you bring my ashtray over here, whatever it was? And I brought that attitude into my marriage at first. You're probably thinking, how did that go for you, Pastor Dave? Not well. Not well. But that's what I thought true greatness was. To be served instead of serving. To be given to instead of giving. To be loved instead of loving. I had a misunderstanding when I started my marriage of what true greatness is all about. And it sounds a lot like James and John in our text today, doesn't it? Today, Jesus tells us what true greatness is all about. And I think if we were paying attention, we probably know already what it is. But go down with me, down this path, down this journey, and let's discover together as we look at this text, it's amazing. In some ways, preposterous text that is before us. Because here's James and John asking a stunning question. Now, the context of this is, Jesus had just told his disciples that he's heading up to Jerusalem. He's going to be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They're going to spit on him. They're going to mock him. They're going to flog him, and he's going to die. And then on the third day, he's going to rise again. That's verses 32 to 34. Now, you would think that the disciples would say, oh my goodness, you're going to Jerusalem? They're going to spit on you, they're going to flog you, you're going to die? And what's this rising again thing all about? What is that all about? But that's not what James and John said. It's almost like they were saying, well, that's fine and dandy for you, Jesus. Have fun with that. But we have some bigger concerns on our mind, and we want to ask you some things. We want to ask you something. What is it, Jesus says? Grant that my brother and I, James and John, that we might be on your right side and on your left side when you come into glory. Now, what did they mean by that? They still didn't understand, even after 3 years, what the messianic ministry of Jesus was all about. They still thought that he was going to establish an earthly kingdom, rule from Jerusalem, and overthrow the Roman government. And James and John said, we want to do that with you. So then Jesus asks, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'll be baptized with? Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? Now, what did Jesus mean by that? This is what he meant. That I'm going to be submerged. The word baptism in that context means to be submerged. I'm going to be submerged into pain and suffering and death. The cup I drink is going to be pain and suffering and death. Are you up to it? And James and John said, you bet, we are. Now, as this conversation is going on, what's the other disciples' reaction to this? Did they say, well, you know, James and John deserve it. They're pretty cool. They're bigger leaders. They're greater servants. Yeah, we're just fine with this. Is that what they thought? No. The Bible says they were indignant. They were angry. And you can imagine Peter talking to Matthew saying, who in the world do those guys think they are? What is this all about? All of a sudden, Jesus says, time out. Time out. Let me tell you what true greatness is all about. And he gathers them all around. And he has a huddle session, if you will. And this is what he tells them. Whoever wants to be great among you, listen to this, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And then he says, this is what true sacrificial service is all about. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Don't miss this point. It's the only major point of this sermon. True greatness is epitomized by being a servant. True greatness is epitomized by being a servant in the workplace, in the community, in the school, in the church, and in the home. Jesus showed true greatness by being a servant. He served the disciples. He was a servant to the disciples by mentoring them. He was a servant to those who were sick by healing them. He was a servant to those who were mourning by raising their dead. He was a servant to those who were hungry by feeding them. He was a servant to those who were uninformed by teaching them. He was a servant to sinners by dying for them. He's a servant to us sinners by dying for us. Amen? That's what it's all about. Jesus said, this is true service. This is true greatness for me to lay down my life for you, to be a servant to the nth degree by taking upon myself your sin, making restitution for it, making payment to God and ransom to God for it. By the way, the ransoming for our sin was not rendered to Satan. It was rendered to God because God demanded that the sacrifice for sin be a holy, unblemished sacrifice. And that's what Jesus was. So he renders the ultimate service in our behalf by being lifted up on a cross and dying for us. Philippians chapter 2 says, Jesus did not regard equality with God something to be continually obtained, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. and being found in human likeness, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friends, that is true greatness. To put others first. To have a me first attitude? No. To have a you first attitude? Yes. I was reading in the scriptures yesterday that God has put his seal of approval on us. How many of you have heard of the good housekeeping seal of approval? Raise your hand. Yeah. If there's some product that somebody really likes and good housekeeping people really like, they put their seal of approval upon that product. And you can buy that product, and there it is in the corner of that product, the good housekeeping seal of approval. You know what? Because the ransom paid by Christ to God, God has put his seal of approval upon all of us. Do you know how many times we try to seek the approval of others? Try to get the acceptance and approval of others? We call those folks, and I'm kind of one of them, people pleasers. We can never get full approval from people. But here's the marvelous thing. We have full approval from God through Christ to us. And that makes us servants, right? Because what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us here today, we humble ourselves before God. And we say, I'm a servant. Funny football analogy. How many of you like football, okay? Okay. How many of you like to watch football because you like to watch the huddle session? You know, when they're in the huddle, right? You know, and you say, man, I can't wait until the Broncos play and I get to watch them huddle together. Is that what you say? No. I mean, we're not excited about that. That's kind of the boring part. That's when you put it on pause and go to get a beer or whatever it is, right? Okay, we don't watch football to watch them huddle. I want to tell you, you know what the huddle session is for us as Christians here at Peace Lutheran Church? Worship and connect. Worship and connect. It's when we come and sit and learn and be taught and equipped and empowered to leave this place worshiping, we do, connecting, we do. That's the huddle session, but the execution of the play is service, right? It's service. Man. James and John just didn't get that, did they? But this thought just dawned on me right now. When did they get it? After Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came, right? After Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came, they said, okay, now we get it. We're called not to be served, but to serve. We're to follow our master's tracks. We're to follow in his steps because he was the ultimate servant. He knew what true greatness is all about. And now it's our turn. I want you to go ahead and look at a couple of these quotes. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. I want to stop right here and ask you something. Do you know what? When we become despondent and down and depressed, oftentimes, unless we have some situation going on in us health-wise, when we become despondent and depressed, it's when we're focusing on what? Us. The best advice my dad ever gave me, he said, son, when you start to feel despondent and depressed about ministry, go out and serve somebody. Didn't Bob Dylan say that, by the way? You got to serve somebody? Where did he get that? From Christ? Where'd Mahatma Gandhi get this? From Christ? Now, this is a contradiction because the guy who penned these words is the same guy who said, I am the greatest, right? That was one of his worst moments. This was one of his best. Service to others is the rent you pay for the room you have here on earth. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. So this service I'm talking about today, it starts in the family. It starts by husbands sacrificially loving their wives and saying, you first. It starts with wives submitting to the leadership of the home and saying, honey, I'm here to serve. And so you have these two folks mutually focused on one another serving. It starts in our community where children say, you know what? I'm going to go sit at school by that kid who sits all alone. Or when mom and dad tell me to do something, I'm going to do it the first time. And sometimes I'm even going to do my chores at home without being told. It starts with when you're sitting there in the pew and you're reading the bulletin during a boring sermon, okay? You're reading the bulletin during a boring, and you see all those opportunities to serve, and you're not involved in any kind of service here at church. The Holy Spirit is beckoning, is he not? Saying, get in the game. Get involved. Find a way to serve. Whether it's the altar guild, or working in the booth, or being a greeter, or being an usher, or helping with Sunday school, or working in VBS, or helping with the egg hunt, or whatever it is, we say, I want to serve. Why? Because Jesus first served me. And this is what true greatness is all about. It's not about being served. It's not about my selfishness. It's not about people paying attention to me. It's about me serving and focusing on and paying attention to others. It can be in the community where you see a single mom in your community or maybe in this church who you know is struggling, and you say to one another, let's do something to serve that individual. You might be in a community where nobody goes to church, and all of a sudden you have an idea, I'm going to lead a life group to help them understand who Jesus is, and you follow through. The Holy Spirit oftentimes will beckon in our hearts, just get up and do it. That's what Jesus had to remind the disciples about, didn't he? They had it all messed up, what true greatness is all about. Have any of you ever seen the Harlem Globetrotters? Have you ever seen them live? So my son is a huge Harlem Globetrotters fan. And he said, Dad, you've seen him on TV, but I'd never taken him to see the Harlem Globetrotters. And so he brought a friend, and it just so happened that two of our grandkids were spending the night with us. My little grandson, Creed, who's 4 years old, said, I want to go, Grandpa. So I took him to the Harlem Globetrotters. I want to tell you, he loved it more than anybody. I mean, he thought it was so funny. But at the beginning of it, it's time for the national anthem. And he says, Grandpa, will you put my hand in the right place? Isn't that sweet? Meaning, is it this way? Is it that way? Would you help me, Grandpa? So I grabbed his little hand. Whoosh. It's time for the national anthem. Do you know what we say today? Holy Spirit, would you put my heart in the right place? And our heart is never more in the right place than when we serve. And that is what true greatness is all about. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the power of your word. Man, oh man, did the disciples have it messed up? And so many times, so do we. God, we humble ourselves before you, thinking that greatness in the kingdom is just all about us and what you do to serve us and what you do to care for us and what others do to serve us. God, we've got it all messed up so many times. Oh God, change our hearts, our minds, our will, our attitude, our desires, God, not to be so much wanting to serve, but to serve. For that's where true greatness, beginning in the home, that's where true greatness is truly found. In the precious name of you, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen.